Will you open your Bibles now, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together at the present time, and notice with us the sixth chapter. In our study of the sixth chapter thus far, we have noticed the opening of the seven sealed book, and the last time we were with you, we were thinking together about the opening of the fifth seal. When the fifth seal was opened, we saw a great host of people standing before the altar of God. This great host of people are spoken of in the King James Version as being under the altar, but more accurately, before the altar of God. They were crying out that God would take vengeance upon those who had treated them in such an ill fashion, but God had told them that they should wait until others of their company would join them, and then God would take vengeance upon them. Just as we were leaving you last time, we were suggesting to you that among other things, this proves that our loved ones in heaven are conscious, that they are happy, that they are cognizant of what is going on in heaven and on earth. Now we do realize, of course, that there are some things going on the earth. If they knew about them, they would be unhappy, and we know there is no unhappiness in heaven. So we look at it from a twofold standpoint. Either they do not know about those things, God shields them from their eyes, or they are able to look at it as God looks at it and sees it from his perfect viewpoint. But the thing that we want to re-emphasize this morning to prepare your hearts for what we want to say to you today in relation to today's lesson is that you should not torture yourself wondering about the condition of your loved ones in glory. They are happy, they are settled, they are well cared for, and they are conscious. They are not lying in an unconscious state waiting a resurrection day. They are very much alive, enjoying everything very much. Sleep. They are not unconscious. Nobody sleeps the sleep of the dead, awaiting the day of resurrection. The body falls asleep, but the soul, as soon as it is absent from the body, is present with the Lord and is very conscious of what is going on in heaven. And I believe, personally, in a limited fashion, conscious of what is going on the earth as well. These people were saying, for example, "How long, Lord? How long?" Does that bother you? Well, we may run across a number of things in the book of the Revelation that will bother a few of us who think that everything ought to be done in love. We have run across a few things that disturb us because we don't believe that God dares to do anything that looks like judgment, or he won't be God. We've been filled to the full so long with the idea that God is love, and anything that is opposed to love could not possibly be associated with God. Beloved, this is the period of judgment about which we are speaking, and these saints of God are praying in the age to which they are related. They are related to the age of judgment, and they are praying, "Lord, how much longer are you going to let the people of the earth get away with their diabolical deeds? How much longer are we going to have to wait for vengeance?" There's nothing incompatible with truth when these people pray in the manner suggested. They were praying with the insight of divinity. Now let's look at these saints for a moment that are gathered round the altar. We're more interested in them right now than what they're saying. Did you notice in verse 11, there were conscious saints standing before the altar talking to God? And the first thing that God did was to give them white robes. White robes unto every single one of them. What are these white robes? Of what symbolism and significance are they? Well, turn with me for a moment in your Bibles to the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation, where we'll find out what these white robes are. This chapter talks about your and my getting them. This sixth chapter is talking about the tribulation saints getting them. But it's the same thing as far as the meaning is concerned. So, will you notice Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, we read, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." I want you to look at that word righteousness there and recognize that it is plural. Righteousnesses. So we have found these people in Revelation 6 clothed in robes of righteousness, which simply means that when the Apostle Paul pronounced to the Ephesians that someday the Lord Jesus Christ would present his church and all other believers to himself without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing, he knew what he was talking about. You do remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 5, don't you? "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now, I would not suggest to you that the people about whom we are thinking are members of the Church of Christ. But I would suggest to you that what God does for the church, he's going to do all believers, as is indicated by the fact that he gave them white robes of righteousness. These tribulation saints we're talking about, he gave them white robes of righteousness, just as he does the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you will look again with me at Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, another precious thought comes to our minds concerning the state of the dead. Notice Revelation 6, verse 11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." Will you notice the word rest in verse 11? This is what is awaiting the tribulation saints. And it is what is awaiting every born-again believer who departs this life and stands before the altar of heaven in the presence of the Lord. It is a state of rest. I wonder what we mean by that. Well, the word is used only 5 times in the New Testament, and it is used in every instance in a very precious way. Do you remember in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Look at the word rest. It's the very same word. It is the translation of the Greek word anaposis, which means simply a cessation from every physical discomfort, from every physical problem and ailment that any individual may have. Will you turn with me to chapter 14 of the book of the Revelation for a moment, and notice with me a suggestion about this word rest by comparison and contrast. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, did you notice in this paragraph, the word rest was mentioned twice? Once it was preceded by the word know, and once it is presented in the manner in which we have been thinking. So two classes of people are brought to our attention in this paragraph. There is a class of people who will be living during the tribulation, who will listen to the Antichrist, who will receive in their hand and in their forehead the mark of the beast, which means that they are followers of the Antichrist, and that they have accepted, that they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they'll get along fairly well on the earth. Everybody who compromises does fairly well, but this earth isn't all there is, you know. We read in verse 10 that these people who compromise their testimony shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And we read that these same people shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And we read in verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And we read, they have no rest. But what a contrast. In verse 13, the believers find rest. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Yes, beloved, the dead are conscious, either in hell or in heaven. But in heaven, they are at rest, and we thank God for that. Remember to pray for us today. May God bless each one of you today.